Where Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Well, as Craig mentioned to you, today is a special day because it is the first Sunday of Epiphany. And Epiphany means to a revealing or a manifestation. And it's the next chapter in the story of Christ where the church embraces Jesus as the light of the world. This period takes us all the way to Ash Wednesday. And today is also the last Sunday for our mini-series titled In Pursuit. Last week, Pastor PJ talked about God pursuing us and the importance of us joining him in the pursuit of others. Well, this week, I'm talking about how we pursue God ourselves. And I'd venture to say that if we make pursuing God the passion of our lives, there's nothing more amazing than the God of the universe wanting to have a relationship with us. So I want to start off with a little story. If you've heard me preach before, you know I like to give you a little story. So here's one for you I'm pretty excited about. The week of Christmas, I received an invitation. It's the kind of invitation that I've dreamt about, I mean, for a long time. And I was tipped off by a friend of mine who is what I would call the connector of all connectors. His network is like this ginormous spider web that stretches from here to China. Anyway, he called and he said, hey, remember that whole Tenacious Faith thing that I got you involved in? And for those of you who don't know, I was on a circuit called Tenacious Faith for a short while where I was able to go different areas of the country, Nashville, Chicago, and that we were able to speak to women's groups. And it was great fun. He said, well, guess what? This is way bigger than that. And so he starts to tell me a little about it, and I was like, there's just no way, I don't believe it. But he insisted that it was true. He told me that I needed to get ready for this because it was coming. I said, yeah, right, and I'll be preaching at the Vatican again. I'll be preaching at the Vatican soon, too. But then this invitation, it arrives in the mail, and it's this... like I said, it's similar to a wedding invitation. So I opened the envelope, and inside this elegant invitation, I couldn't believe it, right? I open it, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What? I'm looking at the address. Yep, sure enough, Mrs. Dawn Polgini, and the address was mine, and yep, so that's me. And so I start to read it again. And as I read it, this is just, you know, all this little fancy paper in here, and I start to read it, and it says... The former First Lady, Mrs. Laura Bush, requests the honor of your presence. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait, what? Yeah, okay, right. This is a joke, right? I'm thinking. So I go back to the envelope and I'm looking at it again. And then I start recalling the conversation that I have with my friend, right? And thinking, there is no way that this can be true. So I continue on, and it says in here, I'm invited to this inaugural gala launching the National Young Christian Women Leadership Conference. I'm invited to this inaugural launching. And it's in Dallas, Texas on April 4th at 7 p.m. at the City Club of Dallas. I'm like, okay, this is bizarre. This is crazy. Like, these things don't happen. So I go back to the envelope. I'm looking at the stamps. Yeah, there's a lot of stamps. This is legit. And I'm like, wow, I cannot even believe this. You know, and I had heard a little bit about this NYCWLC where, you know, Christian women leaders have come together and they want to encourage and equip millennials and younger to go out and be Christian leaders in their world. And they've commissioned, you know, 10 people for this panel, including some of my heroes like, you know, Beth Moore and Priscilla Shire and Kay Arthur and, you know, other highfalutin, important people. And the coolest thing, like, okay, so, I mean, really, I was just like, what is going on? This is incredible. I think my friend should run for president or something. And then the coolest thing of all that really had me floored was that I opened it, and in here is this little thing, and it says, we'd like you, Dawn, little peon Dawn, who's nobody that doesn't really know anybody, you know, of this stature, we want you to give the opening devotional. I was like, what? That is crazy. I cannot even believe that. So I was like, yes, God, you are so good. But you know how there's always like a good news, bad news, it seems like, you know, like here's the good news. Now I got a little bad news for you. Well, if you want to know what the bummer of this whole thing is, the worst part of it all is that I can't go. No, I can't go. I had to decline. You know, it turns out that I have a dentist appointment. It's true. I do. I do. Can you believe this? I have a dentist appointment at 3:30 on the same day. And, my dentist is, he's really hard to get into. Like, he's super hard to get into. The guy only works like one day a week. And he's been retired, I think, since he's been 45. And I'm like, okay, I can't. I'm sure it would have been really awesome, you know, but I had to decline. Okay. Here's the truth. I made it all up. I made it all up. This invitation really is to my friend's daughter's wedding, and she was married last week, and there's where I got all this good stuff, and so there is no conference with this title, and I'm not going to this gala because there is no such thing, although maybe there should be, and now I can start it because I think it's kind of a good idea, right? So I'm sorry that I lied in church, right? This is probably the last time you're going to see me around here, but anyway. But what if I did get an invitation? What if I did get an invitation like that? And I told you I wasn't going because I have a dentist appointment. I know what you were thinking. If you believed my story, you were all thinking, are you an idiot? Like, just cancel the dentist appointment. Your teeth, like, it's not that big of a deal. You can get another appointment. Your teeth really don't matter all that much. Just go, right? Well, this morning, this is what we're looking at, is that the God of the universe has pursued us, and he invites us to respond. You can forget about presidents and celebrities and CEOs and politicians and other important people, because the God of the universe has pursued you, giving you an invitation to seek him, to pursue him, to share your life with him. And you know, looking in my own mirror sometimes, and I have these conversations with God, and I say, you know, sorry, God, I have a dentist appointment. You know, I would love to hang out with you more, God. I would love to know you more. I would love to read your word more. I would I would love to pray more. I'd love to dig deeper into your character more. I would love to invest more time and intimacy and make you a priority in my day-to-day. But God, come on, I've got a very busy life. So when I stand back and I think about it, I have to say to myself, Dawn, don't be an idiot. Cancel the dentist appointment. Well, my hope going into 2019 is that each one of us will embrace this value of pursuing God. And beginning next week, that you will invite a few of your friends to join us in our upcoming 7-week series called Explore God, where we will be answering the deeper questions of God, such as, does life have a purpose? Or is there a God? And is Christianity too narrow? Those are just to name a few. Why should we make pursuing God a priority in this new year? The simple answer is, it's because that's what God wants. God wants us to respond. He wants us to pursue. You know, the word explore has a few synonyms that we will be addressing today. So when I use them, you may assume they're interchangeable, such as pursue, experience, ask, seek, knock. So I'm going to teach you a bit about our text and what it means, and then we will delve into applying it to our lives, okay? How many times have you heard a Christian say, or, you know, even you've said this maybe even yourself, say something on the order of, so-and-so is not a Christian, but he or she is searching?
I was thinking I sounded quieter. I've never been accused of that, by the way. So in the Garden of Eden, when we go all the way back to the beginning, when sin entered into the world, who hid? Who? Adam and Eve, right? It wasn't God hiding. It's not like Adam and Eve were like running around like, hey, God, look what we did. Yo, God, come find us. Here, we got to tell you something what we did. No, what did they do? They hid, right? God wasn't hiding. God had to come, and he came and found them. And, you know, coming through this Advent season, we know that Jesus came into the world, and he was born as an infant to what? To seek and save the lost. Jesus wasn't the one who was hiding. God is not a fugitive. We are the ones that run. We are the ones that hide. How many of you are familiar with the devotional, Jesus Calling? Anyone? Raise of hands. Okay, I want to read something from it. This is going to be tricky now. I want to read something from it, and it's brief. So I'm definitely not going to try to put my glasses on at the same time, too. Okay, here we go. Listen to the love song that I am continually singing to you. I take great delight in you. I rejoice over you with singing. The voices of the world are a cacophony of chaos, pulling you this way and that. Don't listen to those voices. Challenge them with my word. Learn to take mini breaks from the world, finding a place to be still in my presence and listen to my voice. There is immense hidden treasure to be found through listening to me. Though I pour out blessings upon you always, some of my richest blessings have to be actively sought. I love to reveal myself to you, and your seeking heart opens you up to receive more of my disclosure. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. But you know, often, many of us will give up. We give like a half-hearted, you know, effort in this prayer time of ours. And we conclude that when our prayers are not answered immediately, that God just can't be found. Or better yet, maybe he's just not available. You know, maybe he's just too busy dealing with other important matters. Why would we matter? Well, we know that God wants us to pursue him purposefully, persistently seeking him. And you know, when we do, Jesus assures us here that we will be rewarded. So today's scripture is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And as most of you know, it's the description of the truly righteous life. It's the outlining of the law of Christ. And these two verses are specifically directed at prayer. So what did Jesus mean when he told us to ask and to seek and to knock? Well, you know, all three may seem equivalent, but the commentaries that I studied said that there's this rising scale of intensity in one's prayers and a level of persistence in seeking after God. So we ask, and then it gets a little more intense, and we seek. And then even more intense is when we knock. So we pursue God through prayer. Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Other versions say, ask, and you will receive. And this is in light of continual prayer. That's what it means. Asking is communicating our needs and our desires to God. Now, of course, because God is omniscient and he knows all about us, he already knows what our needs are and what we want, and whether we ask or not. But asking in prayer is the means by which God has chosen to bring about answers. So he already knows what we need, but it's the asking. He wants us to ask because it's this relationship thing we're supposed to be having here with him. And now Jesus isn't saying here, some people misinterpret this and think, well, Jesus, I can ask for whatever I want, right? So he's not saying that believers always get what they ask for, because wrong motives, for example, will hinder the answers to our prayers. However, the more time we spend in communion with God, the more we will know what to ask for it, because we will be more in accordance with God's will. When we ask God to meet our needs and desires in prayer, it shows a dependence on God for needs that can only be met by him. It can't be met any other way. We can't do it on our own. God is always pleased with such displays of faith, and he says, ask, and you will receive. Next thing he says is, seek, and you will find. What is it, do you suppose, that the believer, that we as Christians, ought to be seeking? What should we be seeking? God, that's right. It's God himself. And if you don't believe me, I know I did fib, so I can't be trusted. So I'm gonna give you God's word here, and so you don't have to take my word for it. Here are a couple psalms that's going to back this thought up for you. Okay, you ready? I'm not going to give you the address. I'm just going to rattle them off. So here we go. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Friends, God is not hiding from his children. His heart's desire is for us to persistently and passionately look for him all around us. And when we do, he promises that he will be found. Our first reading from Jeremiah said, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Seeking is a matter of paying attention with an engaged mind and an acute awareness. Well, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seeking God's kingdom means putting God's plan before our own. Seeking God's righteousness means setting a priority on personal holiness and desiring to be sanctified or becoming more like Christ. That's seeking. Now, knocking. Next, he says, knock and the door will be open to you. Here, the Lord uses a metaphor for the action a desire produces. It says, if a person needs something from someone behind a door, the most natural thing to do is knock, right? So think about it. You need something, it's on the other side of the door, you're going to knock, right? It doesn't open, you're jiggling the lock, it's not open, so you keep knocking, right? In the same way, that's what a believer should be doing. We should be praying in faith for God's provision and to be persistent in prayer and never give up. Ask, seek, knock. If you notice, the three different senses being considered here. Asking is verbal, right? Christians were to use our mouths and petition God for our needs and our desires. And believers are to seek with our minds, right? This is more than asking. It's another level. It is a setting of priorities and focusing of the heart. And then to knock is a physical movement, right? One in which the Christian, we actually take action. Now, although asking and seeking are of great importance, they really would be complete without knocking. The Apostle John said, Christians ought not to love in word alone, but with actions also. And, you know, I don't think it's an accident that Jesus said believers should love God with what? All their heart, all their soul, all their strength, and all their mind. This is pursuit. This is the definition of godly pursuit. Asking, seeking, knocking. This is the beginning of experiencing God. And you know what? This is loving God. That is how you begin. This is how you love God back. You know, many of us believe that God wants all kinds of things from us. And I had read a little study that was done. It was like the number one thing that people believe, not everybody, but in this study, the number one thing that came away that people thought God wanted from them was money. Which is kind of weird, right? Because it's his anyway. But they thought that that was the number one thing. And then after that, another thing that was like the top five was a new attitude. Okay? So God wants you to stop doing this or start doing this, whatever I've been telling you to do and you're refusing. I want you to start something or I want you to stop something. Either way, I want you to get a new attitude. And then another was like works, you know, doing good things. Like, that's the first and most important thing of all things that I want you to do, and that is to go do something really good. Now, all of those things that I mentioned, they are good. You know, the church runs when the people give, right? We are supposed to have a new attitude. We are supposed to renew our minds every day. And we are supposed to do good things. But the one thing that God wants from each one of us that no one else in this church can give him besides you, only you can do this. Out of the 5,000 members in Good Shepherd, only you, each one of you, can do this yourself for him. And that is to give him your affection. To give him your personal affection. In the book of Micah, chapter 6, there's a famous verse. It's verse 8, and many of you may have heard it and know it. It says, he, meaning God, has told you, O man. Okay, now wait a minute. God told man. Why does he tell us anything? He doesn't have to tell us anything. But he has told you, O man, what is good. He has told you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love mercy, and here's the number one thing, to walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly with your God. So yes, he wants you to carry out godly justice. Yes, he wants you to love mercifully. But what is that last thing that he said? To walk humbly with your God. So how do we do this? By pursuing. By pursuing through prayer. By asking. Asking for peace and patience and blessing. By seeking. Seeking knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And then by knocking. Knocking so that the door may be open and you may experience love and fellowship with God. God says, walk with me, Dawn. Walk with me, PJ. Walk with me, John. Walk with me. Walk with me in joy and in sorrow. Walk with me in death and in life. Walk with me in the grocery store and at the gym. Walk with me while changing diapers and washing dishes. Walk with me in the boardroom and walk with me on the golf course. And friends, you know what? This is a corporate invitation. It's not an invitation solely for, you know, the super spiritual or pastors. This is an invitation to all who believe in Jesus. Do right and love mercy. But what I want you to do is walk humbly with me. So, if this is what God wants, then we should make pursuing God the passion of our lives, don't you think? But if some of you may be thinking, that's great, Dawn, but how do I fit that into my already crazy life? You know, what about me? I got a lot going on. I got a dentist appointment. I'll tell you what. There is nothing more important than seeking God and making his priorities your priorities. And you know what? When we don't do this, it's only a matter of time before we'll find ourselves hiding again. We just go back to hiding. That's the consequence. And the psalmist, he puts it like this. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. This is the culture we live in, right? And then he goes on, they were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. You know, we're walking around in this culture of ours, and there are people that have this huge crater in their soul that's like the size of the universe or something, right? And we all have craters in our souls, too, that they cannot be filled by anything earth-sized. It can only be filled by something with something God-sized. So you've got this invitation from God to walk with him. And you've got this soul that was made for God. And when you marry those two things together and you start pursuing God and enjoying a relationship with him, God is happy and you are satisfied because you were made for him. Isn't that great? We pursue him. That's what he wants. And then we are satisfied. You know, some of us, we've been stuffing the whole world into that crater that's as big as God. And in effect, we're wandering in a desert. And our soul is wasting away. Well, I've got some news for you. You have your own invitation on the table to seek God, the Creator, and to know him intimately. I like the way King David says it. And King David, he responds to this invitation. He had an invitation too, right? And he responds to it because he was really familiar with these craters, right? Like this giant crater. Because he had made some pretty bad mistakes in his life too. And here's how he responds in Psalm 27. He says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. I read about this church in the South where the pastor tells his congregation to stand up and tell God what you need. What's that one thing, like the psalmist said, that you need? And he does it every week, and it's quite a thing. And he's got one parishioner that does the same thing week after week after week after week. So he stands up, this guy stands up, and instead of telling God the earthly things that he needs, he shouts, God, all I need is more of you. All I need is more of you. Now, of course, he has other needs, right? He fix this, mend that, forgive this, provide for that, heal this even. But every week, without fail, apparently this guy asks for the one thing, and that is, God, give me more of you. So in closing, I want to leave you with some food for thought, and that pun is intended, as you will see in a moment. So as you ponder who you might like to invite to our Explore God series, because, you know, we all know someone who is wasting away in a dry desert, I want you to think of this. While they begin to explore God, or maybe, honestly, maybe there's some of you who are still in the beginning stages of exploring God, and that's great, because that's where we all have to start. We start with questions, right? But I want you to remember this. We can learn a lot about God. We can answer all the curious questions. But there is a huge difference between knowing about God and actually knowing God. And I'm going to illustrate this for you through what Pastor Louis Giglio calls the Gospel of Krispy Kreme. They're like, what? Now, most of you are familiar with Krispy Kreme, right? Raise of hands, so I know. Okay. If you're not, that's okay. You're going to find out today. But for those of you who know, when you see this box here, okay, let's say you go to work or you come home and you see this nice, big, flat box, you know it's a special day, right? It doesn't matter what kind of day you're having. You could walk into the office, and if there's a box of Krispy Kreme sitting on the counter, you're like, whoa, it's someone's birthday. This is going to be a good day, right? Where's the coffee? Your life changes for that one day when you see this box. And if you know anything about Krispy Kreme, you know that these puppies were purchased when? Does anybody know about Krispy Kreme? What do they have, the red light? Hot and ready, right? Hot and ready. Now, I'm not going to go into this story, but my husband and I almost got shot last night purchasing these in Hillside because there's a brand new Krispy Kreme there and there was some gang fire going on. But we got them for you, so please take some on your way out. And share them with the band. Oh. Because, you know, you have to.
Wow, thank you.
There you go.
Thank
Pass
you.
It along.
Thank you.
Krispy Kremes. It was worth it, let me tell you. So Krispy Kreme, you know, it's been around since 1937. And their mission statement is this. You're going to love it. It's going to go up on the screen, to touch and enhance lives through the joy and experience that is Krispy Kreme. What? I love that. I was like, come on, I can do this. This is awesome. 20 varieties, but you know what? We all know. If you've had a Krispy Kreme, it's about the original glazed, right? But here's the thing. You know, the folks up in Winston-Salem, where their home office is, they're not all jazzed up because someone's going to tweet today that they heard Dawn Pulgeni talking about Krispy Kreme and blah, 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 right? They're not going to get all excited about that. And that I talked about the 20 different varieties, or that you could, you know, phone 1-888-4-Krispy and, you know, and learn lots of facts or whatever. Go to their website. That's not why. They don't get excited about that. They make these donuts. How are they tasting? They make these donuts, friends, not for information, but for what? They tell us. For experience. They make these donuts for experience. When you go from knowing about God to knowing God, you will be able to say the same thing that the psalmist said. And this is great. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Isn't that fabulous? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, I know some of you have stopped listening because you're like, oh, great, she just ruined my New Year's Eve resolution to eat better, right? Because guess what? There's going to be Krispy Kremes right outside the sanctuary there for you to have a taste, to have a little sample. Because you know why? It's not good enough for me to give the Krispy Kremes to Craig and the band and have all of you go, oh, wow, that must be great, right? Yeah, those must be really yummy. Did I lose my thing? I'm carrying it around here. And it's not enough for you to walk by the table and go, wow, look at that mound of Krispy Kreme donuts. Would you believe that? I know the mission statement. Yeah, I already know it. To touch and enhance lives, blah, 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 and 20 different flavors, da, 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 da. No, and you know what? It's not enough until you come by, you pick up the donut, you put it in your mouth, and you start chewing it. And then you go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a Krispy Kreme, right? That's a Krispy Kreme. So how could the psalmist pen that? Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Does this resonate with you? You've got an invitation from God, friends. Don't miss it because you've got a dentist appointment. Seek him so you may experience his goodness. Now, before we go on, I want to ask you, what resonates with you here? Have you been able to experience God in a new way? What is your takeaway? I'm going to give you a moment to think, and we're going to go ahead and pass this around, and I'm going to detach myself from this thing I got going on here. So take a moment, and then raise your hands. Anyone would like to share? What's your takeaway? How are you going to pursue God in 2019?
I didn't want to leave you hanging. I was just reflecting on Malcolm Gladwell's book in which he says it takes 10,000 hours to reach perfection. Something that you're trying to master. And I said to myself, because I try to spend the 10,000 hours writing, playing guitar, playing ukulele, trying to reach perfection. I can do the same thing pursuing God. I actually think I can do all of that and pursue God. I don't think it's one or the other. I think whatever it is I'm doing, simultaneously I can be pursuing God. And I think the more I ask the question of the why, what do I want and why, that question goes deeper and deeper, and I can more clearly see what it is that I want from God.
Okay. 10,000 hours, everyone. That's awesome. 10 years? That's great. Anyone else? How can you pursue God in 2019? Were you feeling bad for me too, Tom?
I think for me in 2019, because I serve a lot, but to help others see and find experiences in service in the kingdom would be a way that I could pursue God in 2019.
That's great. Pursuing God. Anyone else?
I think not to be afraid to share the good news and to tell others about God. And for me, most of the people I know are people here that already know God. But I also have a passion for skiing, and a lot of those people don't know it. And so going up on the lift with strangers is an opportunity in God's beautiful creation to share the good news.
That's a great way to help others pursue God. Sure.
I think for me, it's the intensity of these things. It's easy to be working and typing away, and oh, by the way, God, I like this, and keep on going. And I'll tell you a story. This reminds me of when I was a kid. Now, of course, this was a long time ago. And when we would do trick-or-treating, we found out, our little clump, that like two blocks over, there was a house where somebody was actually giving out big, regular Hershey bars. They didn't have those little things like you have today. And we sought that house. We went to house, and we finally found that house and got the Hershey bar. And when I think of that, it makes me think my seeking for God sometimes is not even at the level of looking for that Hershey bar.
Oh, I love that. Anyone else? Thanks for sharing.
You can go ahead. Okay. We have time for more.
We have our homes invaded with all the technology, phones, radio, computers, iPad. And I feel that they have invaded my life, because the first thing that I do in the morning is connect to the phone and see who is telling me something. I have cousins in Argentina. I realized that they have been robbing me of time, and I think my way is to put off all those devices until I first start reading and praying as a priority of the day.
Wonderful.
Because I noticed terrible what is happening to me.
You're not the only. You're not alone. But that's a great great thought. Thank you.
Yeah. Each year, I try to center whatever resolutions I'm going to make around one word or one theme to kind of guide me through the year. And this year, it's gratitude is what I chose. And I've been doing a devotion. I haven't missed a day yet. Sometimes it's, you know, right before I go to bed, but I'm still 100% so far and hope to remain that way. But I've been using the books that we had available for purchase a couple Thanksgivings ago, centered around giving thanks and gratitude. And once again, I'm starting a gratitude journal. And so far, I'm batting 1,000. And hopefully, that'll continue. But as I do the gratitude journal, it really makes me reflect on how God is showing up in my life. And one of the things that I know Sparks does is we talk about God sightings and have the kids be cognizant of where God is showing up in your life. So that helps me realize just how much how much God is a part of my life and deepens my relationship with Him.
Wonderful. I love that. Anybody else?
When we ask for things of God that don't seem to get answered, we're overwhelmed with all these requests to God that are not getting answered. I tend to stop seeking after Him and shut the door on Him eventually. And I'm sure we all have many, many things going on in our lives that we're needing to give over to God. And some just don't seem to get answered. And my desire is to try to not let that deter me from seeking and shutting the door on God.
That's great. That's what the Bible tells us, right? I had read a story, I didn't include it in my sermon, but it was about, it wasn't C.S. Lewis, but it was another theologian dating back, and he had had four friends, and he was praying for each one's salvation. And the first one he prayed for and immediately was saved, right? Do you remember who it was? The second one, it was like several years later. Another one was like 10 years later. And the last one wasn't until after he died. But all four, but he just kept seeking. He kept asking. He kept petitioning God. So don't ever give up. It pleases God. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are the light of the world that shines brightly for us so that we may see a straight path. I thank you, Lord, that you love us enough that you even would want us to respond and pursue you. Lord, I pray that as 2019 has opened and we are stepping into a new year, that where we go, we will bring you with us, Lord, that we'll keep our eyes and our minds and our hearts set on you, that when our feet hit the floor every morning, may our words be, Lord, give me more of you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So this is a new song. It's a new song written for you, for Epiphany. The lyrics, however, were written 500 years ago, so people have been seeking the light of Christ for a long time. We are part of a great continuum of saints. Jeff is going to sing it for you once, and then we hope you'll join us.
Eternal light shine in my heart, eternal hope lift up my eyes. Eternal power be my support, eternal wisdom make me wise. Eternal life raise me from death, eternal brightness make me see. Eternal spirit give me breath, eternal Savior come to me. And I will ever grateful be for your most costly grace, by your love and sacrifice for me. At last I stand behind your holy face. Oh, eternal truth speak to my heart, eternal faith source of my life, eternal love of which I'm part, eternal peace and love I strive.
You ready to sing? Here we go.
Eternal light shine in my heart, eternal hope lift up my eyes, eternal power be my support, eternal wisdom make me wise. Eternal life raise me from death, eternal brightness make me see. Eternal spirit give me breath, eternal Savior come to me. And I will ever grateful be for your most costly grace, by your love and sacrifice for me. At last I stand beside your holy name. Oh, eternal truth speak to my heart, eternal faith, source of my life, eternal life of which I'm part, eternal peace and all my strife.
Let us pray. Eternal light, in this time of Epiphany and throughout the year, shine deep in our hearts and let your light shine forth so that everyone we meet, family member, friend, stranger, those people who look like us, who don't look like us, the rich, the poor, the disenfranchised, they will experience your love. And through our treatment of them, through our prayer life, and through our pursuing, for our knocking on the door, and for asking you to come in, that they will see our light, reflecting your light. Amen.
Amen.